So, all right, everybody, welcome back to Red's Corner. I've been hitting you guys with the interviews over and over again, I know, but today we got an extra special guest. He's been on the show before, so I'm just going to let him introduce himself because he kind of knows how we do things over here.
What is happening? Thanks for having me back. You know, it's been a couple of months. So, again, my name is Austin Tomaco, investment sales broker for Matthews Real Estate. I'm an Army officer as well, former enlisted, just commissioned recently. So yeah, I mean, me and Aiden just connected again, and I asked him when are we going to chop it up? You know, we've been on social media together. We're linked up on there, and I see his updates. I update the world, and now we're connecting back on the podcast. So it's good to be back for sure.
Yeah, man. I still find it just the way that you and I connected initially is super cool. Cause I remember I typed like hashtag hustle and I just started DMing some people. And then I ended up DMing you. And here we are like a year later on our second episode.
Yeah. Cold DM turned into a pretty awesome relationship for sure. Yeah. I mean, just power of social media, power of technology, you know, in the 21st century. So it's definitely awesome. I love it.
It's crazy, man. Well, let's dig deeper. What have you been up to lately? Pretty recently.
So I think the last conversation we had, this was like, I think it was the prime spike in the pandemic. I was in New Jersey working with a buddy of mine, really close buddy of mine in New Jersey for his excavation company. So since then I commissioned as an Army officer. So now I'm kind of in the officer ranks of the military now as a field artillery officer. I relocated to Nashville, Tennessee. Absolutely loving it. Great, great town. Great atmosphere. People are awesome. And capitalize. I mean, the main reason for the move was to capitalize on the real estate markets down here. So I specialize in multifamily assets down here in the Southeast. So yeah, again, that was the main reason why I moved down here. But I mean, that's pretty much it. That's why I'm down here.
Yeah, man. So you said you like the people, you like the atmosphere here. Go a little bit deeper on that. Like, what's it like?
I mean, I'm originally from New York. So New York City is definitely a place where I used to hang out even in high school and stuff like that. But Nashville, I mean, yeah, I live downtown, so I'm in the city itself. So it's a great location. I'm literally 300 feet from my office. So I wake up, you know, I mean, it's optimal because, you know, you see, I post, I'm like up at 4:30 going to the office at 5:15. And so, I mean, the 300 foot walk is totally, it suits me for just my schedule. So, I mean, the city itself is great. You know, the people in general in the South are typically a lot nicer than back up in New York, all rough and tough. So I always say it's great to be from New York, but I mean, even especially now with this whole pandemic, it's definitely not the place to be. So definitely glad I made the move down here. But
hey, I mean, everyone's got their place, and it doesn't have to be, you know, where they grew up or where they're from. You know, you'll find everyone's got to find their place at some point, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So I know you had a pretty big shift in the last time we spoke. You were mowing grass.
Yeah.
The last time we were speaking, and now you're in an office yourself. So update me on that. I haven't heard the full spiel on what really happened.
Yeah, man. So I can't remember. Did we do this last call back in like March or like April?
It had to have been.
Okay, so about 10 months or 9-10 months ago. So
it's crazy. It's crazy to think about, honestly.
It's crazy to think how much changed in just, you know, 10-ish months for the both of us. Because yeah, I was mowing. I hadn't even thought about leaving the company yet when we did that first call. Mm-hmm. I started to think about it in about probably like June, July. I really started to just despise the work for some reason. It was something about because I would wake up at 5, leave my house by 5:30, 5:45, get to storage. We'd load up and then we'd mow until the sun goes down 6 to 7 days a week. And on top of that, when I got home at night, I would have to work on the spreadsheet or on the, you know, the CRM stuff. Managing employees, trying to figure out who the hell is going to work the next day because we're so behind.
It was your company, right? Was it your company?
Yeah, so I co-owned it with one of my buddies.
Right, that's right.
So we're 50-50, and he's working full time on like leads and clients and making sure everyone's happy and scheduling. So we're both just 16, 18 hour days. And when I say 16, 18 hour days, man, I'm not joking. Like, you're up late, you're mowing sun up to sundown, and if it rains, you're screwed. But luckily we live in a desert, so it doesn't rain that much. But yeah, June, July time, I went back home to Minnesota where my family lives. And fun fact, my entire family moved to Minnesota in May. So that was interesting. So I was the only one left here. My dad moved
You're the only occupant of that house right now.
Pretty much. I've convinced two of my friends to come live here too. So I got roommates now. And I guess I didn't even tell you that part. I decided to leave, and I updated my business partner on that, and we figured out the best way possible for me to get a buyout to the point where it was fair to me, but it wouldn't bankrupt the company. So we met in the middle at a decent number, and then he's full rights owner. I just wanted out. So my last day was like September 6th. And then I DM'd a man by the name of Ryan Stuman, who's the CEO of the company that I'm interning and being trained to become a salesman at. Under the VP right now. So I pretend to be him, or I message people on Facebook and do Facebook stuff, LinkedIn. And now I'm also a server at a country club. So I got two jobs going on.
Awesome, man. That's awesome. I mean, I'm in total avia for keeping yourself busy. I mean, especially in those are both, you know, you're in two positions that are going to really put you in a position to grow, right? So you're not just screwing around. I mean, you're making money in one, like the serving deal, you're not really going to necessarily grow. I mean, you'll personally, interpersonally, you will, but not to the point where you're under a VP at that company. I mean, that's a great position to be in, especially sales. I'm like, I love sales. I mean, there's just no ceiling. There's no ceiling. And especially just with, what's going on now, like you see all the corruption in so many areas, like, you know, politics and everything else, you, especially now, you really, really have to, especially young people, they got to get smart on what they're doing in terms of assets. Like, you need to be leveraging assets. I mean, I'm not going to get into, I don't want to be biased, but you need to get into some vehicle that serves you as an asset moving forward because of just all the volatility in all industries that there is right now, you know, going on, everything in the world. Let alone capital markets, you know, medical, you know, corona, this, it's absolutely insane. So especially for us younger people, we got to really set ourselves up for success.
What I'm starting to learn is that, like, growing up, you think all these people are looking out for you, and then, you know, you kind of get put in the real world. Cause I've graduated high school at this, like, probably a couple weeks after our call because of corona. Oh no, it was right when we did our call. So, like, kind of right when I graduated and kind of got plopped down, it's like everyone just kind of stopped caring, you know, like, you got to really fight for yourself and really figure this stuff out, you know?
Yeah. The world just became just so hostile and divisive. It was really, like, upsetting to see and live it, and, you know, go to grocery stores and people are like, if you fall within that less than 6 feet, you are, like, going to get jumped. It's like, dude, that's holy crazy. Crap. Just, yeah, well, I mean,
like, what was it like in New York, like, with COVID and everything, like, as it started to get deeper into it?
So I bounced back between New York and New Jersey. I'd go back and visit family. But, I mean, it's the same region. Yeah. So a lot of people, at least where I was going, I mean, I personally think the area in which I live, a lot of people didn't really care. Okay. A lot of people didn't really care. I mean, yes, they wore masks. Everyone kept their distance. But no one I experienced personally was, you know, going off on people, but I saw a bunch of videos in other states and other cities where people were literally just brawling in the middle of supermarkets and just in public in general. So, and of course we get like the 30-second snippets. Like, we don't know what happened before leading up to it. So, I mean, it is what it is, but the fact of the matter is it always, the derivative of it was like COVID.
Yep.
You know, it's just very, very sad. Like I said before, it's just all divisive, and, you know, the politicians and everyone else kind of handling it didn't do the best job, in my opinion, to really mitigate that, which is just another issue in itself. And, I mean, I don't want to go down the political rabbit hole, but, I mean, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you're all good, man. It was stressful. It was a stressful year. And although I know you made the best of it, I made the best of it. As many people tried to as possible, but it was still stressful. You know, it was still get your head on a swivel and make sure you're not pissing off the wrong person type of year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think in times like these, especially the lockdowns, you're granted a huge opportunity. You really are. Yeah. And I really tried to manifest a lot and grow a lot and take that opportunity, especially early on when everything was actually locked down in the Northeast. It was locked down. Like there were times you had to check into a supermarket. Like if
that's
you showed
crazy.
Up, to a,
that's
if,
insane.
I think only, I think this is what it was, between 6 and 8 a.m. were only allocated to like the elderly.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, which kind of makes sense. I mean, they're like a higher risk demographic, which totally understand. But I mean, that's like a very, very strange situation. It's like out of a movie. Yeah. So, I mean, if you're locked down in your house or wherever you are, I mean, yeah, you can sulk and totally take in as much Netflix as you could, or you could really kind of ponder on like, okay, what the hell's going on in this world? What can I do to, I mean, it all comes down to an individual mindset. Like if you're a divergent or convergent thinker, like if you're a divergent thinker, you took this as an opportunity to grow. Whereas if you're just a convergent thinker, you're like, okay, I'm going to live in the moment and just kind of, you know, I don't know. Just like I said, taking as much Netflix as possible. You're not really outsourcing your thoughts to other opportunities, if you will. So
100%, man. There's people that went into this quarantine stuff and got fat, and there's people that came out of it muscular as fuck, bro.
Like, oh yeah, for sure.
I put on 25 pounds of muscle probably since I've last talked to you. And I was a skinny cross-country kid. And I started lifting this summer. It changed my life, man. Lifting was crazy.
That's awesome. For sure, man. I mean, I use lifting and working out and, you know, just getting after it just physically as me personally, like a decompressor. I use it as not a form of meditation. Some people say meditation. It's not really meditation. It's just, it really makes you, it's serotonin. It's just flowing, baby. It's crazy. A lot of people view it as a chore. A lot of people view it as just something you got to check off the list. But I mean, to me, man, it's an essential. It's totally an essential. And if you don't do it, if I don't get it in, no matter what I'm doing during the day, no matter how many hours I'm working, like I'm going to be miserable mentally, really. And I'm sure, I mean, yeah. And I'm sure it's become the same way for you. It's become like a mental clarity, vehicle, right?
Yeah. 100%. I mean, cause I'd never lifted until 2020. And just something about just pushing as hard as you can and shaking and getting that last rep done. If you're working out with a buddy, they're yelling at you or something, like that's the best, man.
It teaches you a lot, like physical endeavors like that. I think I touched on this the last episode, physical endeavors, although, you know, like I said, most of it is physical. There's still that mental aspect. And if you physically push your body to, you know, different thresholds, mentally, you now have a different scope of what is possible, what is attainable.
Yeah,
so it's completely transferable into really anything. So if you really, like, if you're not a physical guy, I mean, you're a perfect specimen of this whole thing. You just said you just ran, right? I mean, that's still a physical endeavor, but lifting's a whole different ball game.
Exactly.
Whole different ball game. Not that it's not similar. It is extremely, but it's just a whole different, it's movement. It's a lot of different strain on different parts of your body. So it was foreign to you. And I'm sure you took a lot away from, you know, pushing yourself.
100%, man. I mean, I went like whenever you probably first started lifting in your life, did you notice that you just went from like here to here in like 2 months? Just like when you first got real consistent with it. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The transformation is crazy.
Oh, for sure.
At the beginning.
Sure. I mean, yeah. I mean, we're still young in our 20s. So it's going to have that much more of a physical appearance. From a physical appearance level, you're totally going to see it even more. But yeah, I think I started lifting, I think, eighth or ninth grade. So it was like It wasn't anything crazy. I just picked up dumbbells and started swinging them. I mean, that's really the extent of it. It's not like I knew what I was doing, but even that level of strain at that age, like I totally remember just being like, damn son, look at those bulges in those arms. I mean,
yes, sir.
Yeah. I mean, I totally get what you're saying.
Gotcha, man. So I know earlier you're talking about assets and I know you're in multifamily real estate, but you invest, right? Like just purely invest.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get people that are, you know, 18 to even 30, to be honest with you, just to understand the power that the earlier you start investing, each year is worth 10 years, you know, if you can get as early back as possible. Like, what's your opinion to try and get people, you know, younger, our age, to start investing their money?
I got to put the disclaimer out that, like, obviously I'm not a financial advisor, but I mean, you can take everything I say with a grain of salt, which I think you should. I think everyone should question everything someone says. Like, I don't know who said it, but trust but verify. That's, like, you know, totally something everyone should do, especially nowadays with Corona and all these people on TV telling you everything. That's a whole other thing. I'm not going to go on a tangent, but what I'm basically getting at is, everything is different for each individual, but from a macro level, I think people get caught up on Instagram on what people are driving, where people are, what clothes they're wearing, where people are eating. Like, everyone's about posting that they're about that life type of deal. Like, it's ultimately materialism. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of it, but what I think you can do to hedge against that is understand that everyone's got their own different situation financially, everything else. So advice is to, first, you have to save money. That's like first step. You have to save some sort of money, build some sort of savings account to the point where, I mean, it all depends on your motivation as an investor. Are you cash flow motivated? Are you someone that's looking for a long-term hold and appreciation? Like, there's different investor profiles. And I think depending on what profile you fall under, you need to then check out what assets pertain to your investment goals. So in my case, right, so real estate, you know, a multifamily owner could be either cash flow motivated or someone that's looking for a long-term hold and appreciation or whatever. So stocks can you know, achieve some of those goals. But as we see even today, we were just talking about before the podcast, the whole Robinhood situation. You're supposed to, they're supposed to have a fiduciary duty to you as the investor to basically tailor to your best interest. Where I even told you, I tried to place a trade after hours and it didn't go through. And I think you said you did the same thing.
Yes.
I mean, they don't legally have the ability to do that, but they didn't. So, again, stocks, it depends on what you're getting into. Cause then you got to talk about inflation. The rate of inflation historically has been 3% over the past, I don't remember how many years, but I mean, we've just over the coronavirus, over the pandemic, over the course of the pandemic, there's been tremendous amount of stimulus, and people are like, oh yeah, and people that aren't financially literate are like, oh my God, that's free money. It's really not. It's another form of a tax, really, because we're paying for it in the end. I mean, it's not going to be advertised as a tax. Like, here's free money. That's not what it is. It's literally a tax disguised as here's a handout, because the only way for the government to get that money back is to raise taxes. There's the only way. I mean, and I mark my words, that's going to happen. Everyone thinks that most likely.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's hard to pinpoint that. Right. And someone might get mad, and I'm just going to put this out there for someone who might get mad at you saying that, just as a little disclaimer, is it's kind of like giving out a loan. Like,
right,
the people got a loan and, you know, the lender's going to need that money back. It's just simple as that.
Yeah. I mean, that's for sure. So in getting back to like the advice. So step one, save some sort of money. I don't know. I'm not going to put a number to it because it all depends on what you're really trying to invest in and leverage in the end. Step two, figure out your motivation, cash flow, or, you know, that long-term appreciation, and then just do due diligence on, you know, what vehicles are going to tailor towards your motivation, whether it's real estate, you know, ETFs, bonds, stocks. I mean, you know, REITs, real estate investment trusts, I think are a great vehicle for people to get into because it's, I mean, you technically have equity in real estate, but it's really in a company that owns the real estate. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think that's a very, very basic in layman's terms, you know, what people should be doing for sure, early on.
Another thing I see you doing too over on LinkedIn is you have these, you have like these quote of the days or some sort of, is it quote of the week or is it quote of the day?
Quote of the day. Yeah. I mean, really honestly, like no, I appreciate that. Honestly, I stopped putting them on LinkedIn solely because I don't even know if that's the right thing to do. It's on my Instagram story every morning.
Yeah.
But, I stopped putting it on LinkedIn because I want to, I mean, again, I don't know. I'm not a LinkedIn specialist. I kind of want to talk to someone who really is a savvy LinkedIn user, but I want to really just focus the content on LinkedIn and just really focus it on, you know, real estate. The whole mindset stuff, totally. I mean, yeah, you can argue that it makes sense in business, but for the people that follow me on LinkedIn, I feel like they just want to see something about real estate, not necessarily, you know, the quote of the day, you know? So I don't know.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So it's on my LinkedIn. I mean, I'm sorry. It's on my Instagram story every morning. I'm very, very accountable with it. I'm generating a following and a couple of people, even like friends back from high school. I just ironically got off a call with a buddy from high school, that's been struggling, like, you know, mindset wise and just trying to figure out a routine. And he noticed that I'm just like very consistent, 0430, the quotes up every day. And he just saw that consistency and the accountability with it. And he wanted me to just kind of chop up some things with him and help him figure out a routine.
That's good.
Because, I mean, I was happy to do it. I'm glad I did it. I mean, I love doing stuff like that, just helping people. I mean, listen, I'm not an expert in any shape or form in any of that stuff. I'm growing. I mean, every day I'm learning, every day I'm growing in that realm or really anything. But, it feels good to help people for sure. Especially someone that I knew from back in high school and they're reaching out to me and it's like, holy crap. Like, I didn't even realize we were following each other. Like, I literally didn't even know we were connected.
Usually it's like the people you'd never expect are the ones that are consuming your content. Like, they might not be liking it or swiping up, but they're reading it.
It's a good point, actually. I mean, when I post something, I try not to look back at the views and all that stuff because that to me is a form of materialism.
Okay.
Like, I try not to look back at the likes, who liked it, I'm not gonna lie to you, I have looked in the past like, who did like it or how many views did this get? And you're right that, you know, some very interesting names that I figured like either, oh wow, I thought that person unfollowed me or so I get what you're saying.
Yeah, man. So what is, we touched on 2020 a little bit. What is 2021 bringing into your life? Like, what are your goals? What are you aiming for? You know, what are you trying to hit?
Man, a lot, but I guess to sum it up, I mean, I want to abuse 2021, absolutely just abuse it because 2020 for a lot of people was shitty. Very, very shitty. I mean, I think it started with Kobe Bryant's death, right? Yeah. I think I'm pretty sure. Oh, for sure. I mean, God bless him. I mean, I definitely looked up to him as a former athlete. Like absolutely looked up to him. From just a work ethic standpoint, an athlete in general. I mean, the dude was a magician in many respects, but like as a father, like you see him all the time with his little girls and his wife and stuff. I mean, all that stuff is very admirable. So it's a damn shame that the world lost him for sure. But, you know, anyway, 2020, just, obviously was just so, so bad in so many ways. So, I mean, I'm definitely trying to, like I said, abuse every opportunity that comes to fruition in 2021. Absolutely no excuses. I mean, we've already been through the worst as a country, as a world, like entity, like everyone, I think, because everyone was affected by this thing, COVID-19, yeah, the pandemic. So, I mean, United States, every country had their own take and their own way of handling this whole thing. But man, oh man, I would be really upset, like, if people really didn't take it personally into 2021. I mean, I'm taking it personally. I know you're taking it personally. You've done some tremendous things for yourself, and
appreciate it,
yeah,
man.
Yes, sir. Yeah, and I'm happy to freaking see you, man. Like, I see you very active on LinkedIn. It's awesome to see. I was actually really, really, like, ramped up. I was like, damn, this dude's just motivating me, because I mean, you're very active on it, and the posts you do, the stuff you put out is great. So definitely keep that up.
Oh yeah, sounds good, man. So, well, you say, like, I want you to get more descriptive, though. You say you're going to abuse 2021. You're going to take advantage of it. No excuses.
You want some metrics. You want some metrics.
How are you doing this? Yeah, give me the metrics.
So my hours, right? Like, so my routine is, my alarm's set for 4:30. Okay. 4:30, you know, I'm in the office till like 6:37. Get out, go to the gym. I mean, it's very regimented. So I get out, I go to the gym immediately. I'm in there for like 30 minutes to an hour. Come home, prep my quote of the day for tomorrow, prep my meals for tomorrow, shower, go to bed. So and the whole purpose of waking up at 4:30 and entering an office, like, some people might be thinking, like, why the hell is he getting up at 4:30 to go to an office that he lives 300 feet from?
Yeah.
So the main, and this is not just my mindset, it's the company that I'm with, is the mindset behind Matthews Real Estate is, and the CEO, Kyle Matthews, you know, I'm pretty sure took this from a general in the army back in the day, because I'm pretty sure this is a famous quote, is, you with all else being equal, waking up before the enemy will get you so much farther. So Okay. Wake up before the enemy. So the enemy in our case in commercial real estate is just the competition. So waking up before the competition. So, I mean, I can wholeheartedly almost bet that no other commercial real estate broker across the country, maybe, I mean, I'm sure there's probably someone, but very, very few are waking up at 4:30 to prep to hit the phones at 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning. So, and it's not even just me doing it. Like, everyone in the company is doing it.
That's good.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great culture that Kyle and the rest of the company have, you know, fostered, and it's an honor and a blessing to be a part of it. It's almost, I actually told Kyle, I called him one time and I told him, like, I am so happy, motivated to be a part of this company, because it kind of reminds me of the military. It's very militaristic in that way. Okay. Is you're waking up before the enemy. I mean, that just, that statement just kind of relates to, like, a militaristic environment. And then just the culture and the accountability, the just everything about it. So I'm not here to, you know, endorse Matthews Real Estate, but I mean, that is what sets us apart from every other brokerage firm in the country. We are the fastest growing commercial real estate brokerage in the country. So, I mean, that alone can set us, you know, greatly apart from everyone. But, just maintaining that schedule for sure. Just being the best at everything I could possibly be. So, being the best multifamily broker in the country. I mean, that's really what everything, you know, working with clients, you know, credibility, sales volume over the course of the year. I mean, really everything. And I guess maybe abuse 2021 isn't, like, the best word to use, because I mean, it is in some senses, but, like, it's one thing I definitely want to improve is, you know, like, relationships.
Yeah.
I think everyone should be doing that every day. I mean, there's always a relationship with someone you can improve on. I mean, you can improve on anything, you know, every day, but you know what I'm saying is, you know, just, I want to improve on the relationships I have now, manifest, you know, even better ones through networking, whether it's in the industry, you know, friendships, whatever it is. What else? I covered work, I covered relationships, fitness. I mean, the hours that I'm in the office, a lot of guys, there's a coined term in the industry, the broker bod.
Yeah.
Not going to pertain to me. Fuck that. I'm not letting that happen. Like I said, you know, working out and exerting some sort of energy is, it's not like a meditative thing, but it just makes me feel good. My mental clarity, like I just feel great. Serotonin is pumping, like I said earlier. So, no matter how many days or how many hours I'm in the office, I'm going to do something, going to run, you know, get the lifts in. So yeah, I think that'll sum up the answer to your question.
Dude, it's an inspiring schedule, because the first thing that someone's going to wonder is, you know, how does he stay awake? How does he not get tired? How does he not slip up and make a mistake? And the answer to that is you're motivated. You believe in your system.
Discipline.
You believe in your schedule. You're grateful to be alive. Discipline. Like, it's hard to beat
on that. On that note of grateful to be alive is, I forget where I read this, but I remember reading a book or something that was just, oh, I know what it was. I saw an Instagram ad of a calendar that basically displayed you would user input, you know, your age, your date of birth and everything. And it would display a calendar that you could purchase of how many weeks you have left remaining in your life.
Oh, wow.
And it gave you the gray boxes had already elapsed, the weeks elapsed in your life, and the orange represented what was left. And man, I'm telling you, I got to look that up. It's on my phone. I screenshotted it because I want to order it.
Yeah.
Is fucking nuts. Fucking really? Insane. Because it said you input your date of birth, and it was like, I think till the age of 78, with, you know, how many weeks left between now and, you know, your age 78, you reach the age 78. And my God, seeing it on a grid was like, holy shit, man. Like, that is pretty scary. It is short, and you get one shot at it, and it's like kind of corny to say, or like, but you only live once, like the fucking Drake song or whatever, but it is so true. It really is true. I mean, we're made of flesh and bone. We're not made of titanium steel. I mean, anything could happen, and you know, a car coming out of nowhere. I mean, literally anything could happen. The bombing, holy shit. The bombing was on my street here in Nashville. Shook my building. Shook my whole building. Yeah. I mean,
I'm glad you're all right. I did not put those two pieces together.
Yes. Less than a block away from the explosion. I was up at 6. It was a Saturday. Yeah, it was Christmas. I think it was a Saturday. I was up at 6. I was walking around my kitchen, and I'm not even kidding. It was weird. But I was looking at the clock, and the second 6:30 like clicked on the clock, boom. Building shook. I thought it was an earthquake, but then I heard all these sirens. I'm like, oh fuck, something that must have not have. I mean, and I also thought it was construction because Nashville is such a second fastest growing market. So I'm like, some fucking crane fell or something. I don't know. But it was, I mean, that's a perfect example. It's like, it's crazy shit. Nothing, you don't know what's going to happen.
It's insane, man. I didn't even think, like, I'm in shock right now. You're so close to that. Like, you felt that. That's crazy.
Yeah, I went down and saw the flames, and the glass shards were all over the street, like two blocks away from the blast. The blast radius was incredible. Fucking nuts. Like, crazy, crazy.
Good thing you're all right. Everyone at your company is good too. No one got caught up.
Everyone was good. I don't think any casualties happened. I think four were injured. This is just general populace. I don't think anyone was actually injured or killed besides the bomber himself. I think he killed himself, but anyway.
It's insane, bro. That's crazy.
Yeah.
You see that stuff on social media. I'll talk. This is my last time talking about it. You see it on social media, and then like I'm talking to you who actually experienced it, you know, that's just crazy. But what were you saying?
No, I was going to just circle back to what I was saying with you. I'll put this in like a metaphor of like baseball, because I don't know, I played baseball. You have one shot in the batter's box.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do? I mean, that's a scary thought. If you have one, if anyone really was told you have one shot in the batter's box and you have to hit a fucking grand slam and you have three strikes, yeah. I mean, not even take the three strikes out, because you don't have three attempts at life. You have one.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's crazy when you think about it. So, I mean, it's easy to get complacent because we get caught up, but, yeah, it's all about perspective. You really got to remind yourself of that. And I'm really, really trying to remind myself every day that something could happen. You know, that bomb, another bomb can come, it can blow up, you know, a block south of where the original bomb was. And now it's my building being targeted.
Yeah. You know,
so you just don't know. It's really crazy. So everyone's got to remind themselves of that, I think.
Definitely, man. And what do you, I'm going to switch up the topic just a little bit, because a lot of people think that entrepreneurs or, you know, anyone working hard is just never has fun. But like, what do you do like for fun? Because I want people to know that like, we're not robots here. Like, we do have fun. Like, what do you do?
Yeah, no, I mean, I totally agree. The whole work hard, play hard type of mentality is, I would say that's pretty much me. I mean, I'm not like crazy, let's black out every weekend. Totally not. But anyway, I mean, for fun, I mean, so every Friday, a ritual in the office we have is every Friday we all go out together as an office on, for at least for lunch. Like, we all go out somewhere and we get somewhere good downtown, or, you know, anywhere in the city around here is great. In Nashville, great barbecue. So, hanging around the guys in the office, they're all great, great guys. Love them all. So, you know, building that camaraderie is, I consider that fun. Just, you know, socializing in a social setting, is great. And then because of our schedule, I mean, we work on Saturdays as well. Okay. So we'll pick a day, we'll pick a night, whether it's Friday or Saturday, to all go out collectively, or, you know, I got other buddies that are here in the city as well. I'll link up with, or, I mean, honestly, on the weekends, I really try and capitalize on working out more than the 30 minutes that I usually do during the week, because I'm used to the hour sessions.
Yeah.
But because of my schedule, I try and condense it into a rapid 30 minute, but that's considered fun to me. I don't watch much TV like this. I'm actually sitting in front of my television with this laptop propped up. Like, I don't use it. It's just sitting here. I really don't use it very often at all. So, I'm sorry if any of the listeners were looking for, you know, my Netflix subscription.
TV show, right?
I got nothing for you in that regard. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I definitely consider myself a social person. So being with the guys in a social setting, you know, meeting up with people, going out for a couple of drinks Friday, Saturday night.
I got you, brother. Yeah. My goal with that question is because what I started to notice when I listened to my interviews back is I would always focus so heavily on the grind and because at work we have like the four G's. It's like your group. I always forget one of them. It's your group, your grind, your genetics, and grateful. It's those four. Mm-hmm. So that's basically what your entire life, you know, the people you're around, whether it's friends or family, your genetics, that's fitness and your health. Your grind is, you know, your job, your money, your side hustles. And then which one am I missing? Grateful is you list every morning when you wake up, you write down five things you're grateful for in the app. He has like an app for it. And I'm going to talk to you about it after this call, actually, because I think it's something you should try out. It's free. And, it's just, I focus so heavily on the grind. I never ask people, you know, like, what do you do for fun? What do you actually enjoy? Like, stuff like that. So I'm changing that up a little bit. And I want the listeners to see, like, yeah, you're working hard. Yeah, you're doing this, but you're still going out with the guys at least for lunch one of these days. Like, it's okay to have fun. Like, I got to start doing that myself too. It's okay to pick 5-6 hours out of the weekend to go enjoy yourself and just lay back for a little bit. Cause we got to rest, you know, we got to build up our fun bar. And because if that goes too low, then our grind is just going to plummet.
Yeah. I totally agree. I mean, some people, especially in like the whole 9-to-5 deal where it's like they have a fixed income, it's like they have a lot of fun. Those guys, they have a lot of fun. Cause it's like their life is kind of, I'm not really, giving them shit, but,
sailing by, it's just kind of,
yeah. I mean, it's just, you're naturally going to be a little more complacent because you're getting a check at, every 2 weeks or whatever. But in the case where, you and I were building a business and sales, it's, you got to build, like I just said, you build it, you have to build it. The company provides you their branding and their resources. You got to be the mule and you got to get after it. So you got to manifest everything. So work hard, play hard for sure, but definitely emphasis on work hard, especially early on. Like, listen, I'm all for building the income, the revenue, the assets that will leverage my ability to retire young and then have actual fun.
There you go.
So that's really the goal. That's where I'm headed for sure. So
you'll get there too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, likewise, you absolutely will. You're on a great, great trajectory, man. I'm glad, like I said, like I get all hyped up when I see all your posts on LinkedIn because you've blossomed into completely someone different. Because I remember I talked to you about, what you did with the lawn care business, and you were like, kind of, yeah, that's what I do. And it's almost like you were exhausted telling me about it. But I mean, yeah, you're growing, man. It's people that, like I said, have a divergent mindset. They're going to figure it out. They're going to grow and manifest what, they want.
I appreciate that, brother. And, I'm running out of time. Oh, wow. I cannot talk. I'm running out of time here, but I do want to ask you one more question. I may have asked you this last time, but I always end the interviews like this. Someone comes up to you, they need inspiration, kind of like your buddy from high school earlier. They're just not feeling too well. Like, what are you going to tell them to help get them on their feet?
Probably tell them something they don't want to hear is stop feeling sorry for yourself. I think a lot of people, especially nowadays, they just victimize themselves. My situation's so bad. And I used to tell myself that back in high school when I was going through, a lot with my family, especially my father and whatever else. I played the victim card, and then I grew up and I was, thrown into the real world because of my familial situation with my mom and just financially. And I learned very fast at a very young age, you need to harden up, put everything, all your struggle in the past, and have an open mind. So have an open mind. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Go, roll with the punches, figure it out, get with people that, are ahead of you in life. Take note and just adapt, constantly adapt. And eventually you'll overcome for sure. I mean, yeah, I hope that helps. I hope that answers the question.
That's good stuff, man. Yeah. I just like to hit people with that question because usually it's a real answer, and that was a real answer. It came from the heart, came from your past, came from you, man. And I appreciate your time tonight. It's always fun doing these, and we'll have to get at least two more done this year at some point, and we'll stay in contact a little bit more. And when I stop the recording, it won't stop the call. I'm going to show you this book I think you should order. But awesome. Yeah, man, just thanks for coming on Red's Corner. This is like episode 180 now or something weird like that. I got
triple digits.
Quite a few out there. But plug your social medias real quick too. If you want to.
Yeah. I actually changed my Instagram handle. So it's my first and last name, just Austin Tomaico, TOMAIK as in kilo O. And I don't have Twitter, and Snapchat, I guess, doesn't really matter. but I mean, I don't know. Snapchat's not really important to me, but yeah, hit me up on Instagram for sure.
Sounds good, man. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode of Red's Corner. Peace out.